ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Friday morning at 8 o'clock, it means it's time for Teron Davenport to be with us here on the program on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, host of Talking with TD, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. TD, good morning, man. What's going on? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. All is well, man. How are you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD was with us earlier this week, too, filling in for Joe Rexrow. We had a lot of fun on Monday. Go check that out if you missed that conversation. TD, the Combine coming up next week, and it's Joe Rexrow's favorite event of the year. He really loves all things NFL Combine. But as Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are prepared to speak, what's the number one thing that you're looking for, that you are curious about for the Tennessee Titans heading into Combine Week here next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think as always, you want to see how the receivers run, how the cornerbacks run, the skill positions. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, these guys up close and personal, right? You know, getting to actually feel their size and things like that. As far as, like, you know, you can feel their presence when you're talking to them. But I think as far as, like, from Rand Carthon and the Titans brass, that's the biggest thing that they should be looking forward to, just those meetings and getting down there and just, like, sitting and talking to them and picking their mind and seeing, you know, gauging their love for the football. That's something that you want to kind of fill out and discover when you're talking to them.
So, TD, I feel like five people in particular are of interest to me, and I wanted to see if you agree. I think I'm discounting Marvin Harrison Jr. because I just think that, like, I don't think it makes sense at all for the Titans to try to move up. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think there's any chance of them getting him. But I think Odunze and Neighbors have to be guys you have to be really seriously looking at if you're the Titans, not knowing how the board's going to fall. And obviously Joe Alt, Olu Fashanu, right? But the fifth guy, and I want to get your thoughts on this guy, Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State. I'm seeing more momentum from him, on him, I guess, and just the idea that he may not be all that, like, it's always been kind of sold, I guess, as early on here in the early going as, you know, two guys in a one tier, and then there's a bunch of other good tackles. But I'm hearing more about him as a possibility. What do you think about him as a player?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's a good player and a solid prospect, but he's definitely not on the same tier as those guys. He's not somebody I would take at seven. But at the same time, you still, like, if this were the old Titans, I'd say, yeah, that's, he'd be in play, because that dude is, you know, to use their words, he's a road grader, right, a run blocker, a bulldozer. He gets his hands on you, it's pretty much over. And you watch his tape, man, it's very physical. But I saw, you know, going against, you know, a guy in Adisa Isaac down at the Senior Bowl, you know, they had really good back and forth. I don't know how he would do against some of those edge rushers, you know, those guys that come off of there that aren't too tall, but they're able to bend. Like, think Harold Landry. It would be interesting watching him go against a guy like Landry.
So you think there's a clear, pretty clear separation then between those two and him?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. There's a very, very clear separation. And then on top of that, Fuaga is not a guy I would flip to left tackle. You know, so you need bookends, right? Regardless, you need a left and a right. This league is designed to where you have guys coming off of both sides. But I still think the left tackle position is more important for the Titans, especially with Will Levis, who still has to get his pocket presence and just awareness better, you know, because he got some really bad blindside hits. So you have to make sure that left side is taken care of. And that's why Olu Fashanu with Bill Callahan coaching, or Joe Alt just coming in and taking that number 76 and playing left tackle for the next 10 years would be perfect.
So, TD, let's take it the other way and focus in on the receivers here. Let's say the Titans have their pick of Rome Odunze and Malik Neighbors, and they want to go wide receiver there. They've got those two guys rated higher. Who do you like more, Odunze or Neighbors, with this group and this team?
Hey, Rexo, remember Outkast had that old song, Benz or a Beamer?
Yes.
That's what this is. You know, do you want a Benz or a Beamer? I think you can't go wrong with either one. I just got done three or four games of Rome Odunze, and the thing is with him, man, and what I love is when the game's on the line, that dude comes in and steps up. You know, he had a couple game-winning touchdowns there for them. His ability to just go up and get the ball and make that contested catch is awesome. He's a guy that they moved all over the place, and they found ways to get him open and get the ball and make plays, you know. So you have that. But then you got Malik Nabers, who, I mean, this dude is just like a touchdown waiting to happen. You know, you throw the short pass, and he'll take it the distance. And he's another one that you can move around. So preference-wise, I would probably go with Odunze. I just love that ability to just make that play when it matters and make it against pretty good players. You know, that Oregon tape – both games were really fun to watch. You know, he had the game winner against in the first game, you know, and he made a couple touchdown catches over a corner I really like in Kyrie Jackson. So, I definitely would go Odunze.
So, meanwhile, free agency, you know, coming shortly here, TD. We've talked about, you know, what can the Titans do? I mean, certainly they have money. They have a possibility. They have cap space, which is an important thing to have. I feel like corner is a possible spot where they could make a big splash. I think interior offensive line, certainly, there's some pretty good options. What about those? What else are you looking at positionally? And at those two spots, anyone in particular you like for this team?
Yeah, I think receiver is a position you have to look at as well. And, I mean, going back to corner, if you make the big splash, right, it's going to be a Jalen Johnson or Lajarius Sneed. I don't think either one of them come available. And, frankly, like, if I'm the one doing it, I don't know that either one of those are a $25 million a year player. You know what I mean? At least not for me. I wouldn't spend the money on that. But if you turn around and you look at some of the more efficient guys that you could kind of get the best out of with Denard Wilson and Chris Harris and the crew, you know, I really love the possibility of Jeff Okuda. And I know he didn't do well in Detroit, had the injuries. I don't know what happened.
He had Achilles, Atlanta. Right? He had Achilles, I think, didn't
Achilles.
He?
Yeah, in Detroit, that first year, you know. But he's so talented, you know what I mean? So you definitely, I would look at that. Chidobe Awuzie is a guy, you know, physical corner. He could play multiple spots. And, you know, Denard Wilson said that he wants versatile players, so he's another one. So those are a couple guys that I would look at. As far as the interior part, I think Robert Hunt is a clear favorite, you know, when it comes to the guard position. So you have that. Receiver-wise, I mean, there are all types of ways that you could go. Depending on what the price tag comes in at, I think Hollywood Brown, you combine his vertical speed with Levis's vertical passing ability, and you got something cooking there, but it's just, what is that price going to be? You know what I mean? If you want to go a little bit less expensive, well, a lot less expensive, a lot less productive, you know what I mean? You got Darnell Mooney, who I think would be a good option as well. Tyler Boyd also. And you know, even returner, I would sign Devin Duvernay. He's a guy I would bring in, you know, former Texas State 100-meter champ. You saw what he did in Baltimore over the years as a punt returner, and he brings the electricity as a kick returner as well.
TD, we talked about this a little bit on Monday, but you know, if you're Rand Carthon heading into the draft here, at 7 overall, you've got the opportunity to take an elite player. You're also staring at a roster right now that needs a lot of players and needs a lot of young players coming in on rookie deals. So how open would you be if you're Rand Carthon to moving back off of number 7 in this draft? And I guess what would it have to do, what would have to be a part of that deal in order for you to actually consider doing it if you're Carthon and the Titans?
Yeah, but I would be open to doing it, like maybe moving back, you know, 3 or 4 spots. You look at if a team wants to jump the Falcons, right, and take Odunze or take one of the quarterbacks, you know, that's something. The Jets, you know, that's another area where if the Jets want to move up and get one of the offensive linemen, I would consider that. But then again, offensive line is a position you need. So the moving back part of it is something I would consider, but it would have to include at least another second and maybe a fourth or something like that, or some way to recoup that third-round pick that they don't have. Those would have to be the things. And, I mean, if they were to move back, you know, you look at the receiver position, you know, a guy like Keon Coleman will probably be there, you know, in that 15 to 20 range. And, look, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does at the combine, and he's someone that I would imagine would fit what the Titans want to do pretty well from a receiver perspective.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's going to be fascinating. No doubt about it. As far as backup quarterback for this team, TD, what do you think is the future for Malik Willis? Do you think the Titans should get someone who's a veteran who, has played more in this league, has succeeded more in this league, or do you think that Willis has a future here?
No, I think they should get somebody that has played more in this league. Andy Dalton is a good option. One of those type of players, Jacoby Brissett, that type of player would be perfect for them.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week after the combine. Tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, for sure, man. ESPN Bet is now live in Tennessee. It's the official sportsbook of ESPN and the only place you can find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. You can sign up today, and as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You get all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. You have to be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. And as always, terms and conditions apply for details.
All right, two real quick Gen X questions for you, TD, before you go. One, okay. Do you like play-by-play announcers who say we? And two, how many people don't know what cap means?
Yeah, I don't go for the we thing, man. Stay away from that. It's
Thank
all about
you.
Objectivity. But if they work for the team, I don't mind it. But as far as cap, yeah, that's we know Jarrett Stillman is one of them that doesn't understand it, but he does now because I schooled him.
There we go. Good. There we go. We TD, keep trying with him.
That's right. We'll react to what TD had to say. Coming up next, take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Plus, a free agency ploy that Joe Rexroad believes the Titans should try. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. I got some tickets to give away to see Stained with Seether coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Tuesday, April 23rd. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Stained with Seether coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Tuesday, April 23rd. Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Thanks to TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe Rexroad, you have a free agency strategy that you'd like to see the Tennessee Titans employ.
Yeah, well, for one thing, because I think that it could be a nice ad. I mean, I don't know how it would work out, but I also did not know this about the Jaguars, and tell me if you did. So we've talked about Calvin Ridley. I know Kaharski has had his thing about, he initially really liked the idea of Calvin Ridley here. 29, 76 for 10, 16, 8 touchdowns last year, Jacksonville. Contract expired. I did not realize this. So if the Jags re-sign him before free agency, right, that's an extension. So then Atlanta gets a second-round pick.
Okay.
Now, if he gets to free agency and ends up signing with the Jags, then, it's a third rounder. I mean, that's still something. It's not nothing. But I think there's a pretty decent difference. I certainly would much rather hold on to a second than a third. I mean, the second,
for sure,
you can really – you can make hay in the third too, of course. But so it's interesting to see what the Jags are going to do. Are they going to risk it? Maybe they won't. I mean, maybe they're just going to sign him. They give up the second, and that's that. But if they don't, then I've brought up John Konkak before. And, this is a little different, obviously, than like a RFA with an offer sheet. But it's kind of the same idea, which is, go after him. And if you can get him, I mean, I think he's pretty freaking good. I don't know everything. And Kaharski's talking in code about whatever stuff he's heard. Like, I don't know that. I do know that he was pretty good this year. And so if you get him, then you get him. And I think he's, as far as free agent receivers, and I don't know exactly what the cost would be. That's a big question. But I think you go after him, and then obviously the Jags may have to overpay. But either way, you know, make them pay for risking if they do risk it.
76 catches, over 1,000 yards last year, 8 touchdowns. Honestly, his stats are almost identical to DeAndre Hopkins and what he did last year. How much does he cost, I think, is really the question. He's 29 right now. He'll be 30 next year. So at his age, with his background, how much does he cost? And if it is closer to, you know, $16, $17, $18, $19 million, are you doing that if you're the Titans? And you're paying, what's Hopkins making this year? 16.4, somewhere in that neighborhood?
That's right.
So are you paying Calvin Ridley similar price, maybe a little bit more at that point? Or do you take your chances on, you know, a wide receiver, maybe in the second round? And like, that's an interesting, you bring up the Jacksonville part of this. So Jacksonville, from the draft capital standpoint, would you be willing to sign Calvin Ridley back, ensure that he doesn't go anywhere, give up a second-round pick, wait to free agency, sign it back to get a third-round pick? Or at number 17 overall,
yeah, they're moving on.
Do you say, we're moving on and we'll find a receiver at number 17 overall?
And if that's how they're thinking, then my ploy doesn't work. Yep. But it may be, because it is it's a definitely strong enough receiver draft for them there to get someone good. Like, that's we just talked about Keon Coleman. I think he might be pretty freaking good in the NFL. There's a lot of guys who they could get there, even, you know, maybe move up. There's someone they love, move down, whatever. But, yeah, it's so much of it is about what they think about him. The production is good. And, you know, I feel like the Jags, you know, obviously Kirk has worked out well for them. I mean, they have a good thing going, I think, with offensive skill.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't enough to, you know, to win the division this year. But, yeah, maybe it's a one-year thing and they're moving on, and they look at either of those picks as non-negotiable.
Well, and then if you're the Titans, and look, the Ayuk thing, again, you're talking about a trade situation that has to get there. So there's a lot that has to happen for him to even become available and for you to be the team that lands him. Same thing with T. Higgins. Free agent-wise, like Ridley is one of your better options. Like, if Mike Evans gets to free agency, then there will be people interested in him. I don't think he's going to get to free agency, but we'll wait and see what happens there. Are you better off? Like, is there a free agent out there? Is Ridley one of them? Would Evans be one of them that if they get there is attractive enough for you to commit that money if you're Rand Carthon of the Titans? And by attractive enough, I mean more attractive than just saying, you know what, with our second-round pick, we're going to take a receiver, and that's going to be our number two guy, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do both. You could get the receiver that's big money in free agency and still draft a receiver in the second round.
Right. I mean, you may come across an edge that you absolutely love and you can't believe you got a chance to draft him in the second round. You know, I mean, there's so many needs that I do think that the positions that we've been talking about, interior O-line, corner, I mean, I think you have to do something in free agency at both of them, because I just think it's just a better crop of possibilities.
Can they afford to draft a corner with one of those first two picks? Like, everybody just assumes in some order it's going to be offensive lineman and wide receiver. Could you go corner with, like, your second-round pick?
Yeah, that's one.
I think a lot of that's influenced by free agency, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I like so many of these. That's why I kind of wish the order of things was free agency and then the combine. You know,
yeah.
Then you have a lot more clarity going into the combine with all these teams if you have the free agency period first. But yeah, I think that's so much about that. I mean, it's always, I do buy into the best player on the board, and it's like, look, you know, this Toledo corner, he won't. He's going to go in the first round. But I'm just using it as an example. You know, this Toledo corner, there's a Missouri's got a good corner. You know, fell here, can't believe it. Top player on a board. I mean, you got to have this team badly needs that. It's just, Yeah, the question is, okay, what did you do to address all the offensive deficiencies prior to that?
Ed on the text line says, since the Titans can't fill all the holes in draft or free agency, what position group would you be willing to ignore and wait until next year?
Well, I mean, to me, I think you can live with – I mean, like, I don't like it, but I think you can live with ignoring safety. I mean, in some way you have to bolster it, but, like, you could
– go Molden there.
You could go Molden and Hooker. I think you can
– get Kevin Byard after he gets cut.
Well, there you go. That's true. Bring back Byard. Triple B, bring back Byard. You got the – I mean, D-tackle – like, I mean, you could look at it like Jeff and some other guys. And okay, to that question, Ed, I don't think you can ignore both edge and interior, okay? I mean, I think you need to address both. But I think you can get away with not addressing one of them. It's not ideal.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, there are so many needs between both things, free agency and the draft. But you can't ignore receiver. You can't ignore offensive tackle. I don't believe that you can ignore cornerback either and be a competitive defense in the NFL next year.
What about center? Like, could you roll things back with Aaron Brewer at center?
I mean, I think you want to upgrade, but I don't think that's absolutely – I mean, I think I'm big on going after interior guys in free agency, a center, all that. But it's not at the top of my list of you cannot function as a team next year if you go with Aaron Brewer. It's not all that bad as some people want to make it out to be.
Another one I would add to the list of what you need to upgrade, in my opinion, and some people disagree with this, and that's fine. I think you need to upgrade at tight end, but it's not on the top of the priority list, that, you know, unless Brock Bowers is sitting there.
Well, right. No, but that's a good answer to Ed, too. It's like, I mean, could you go with Chig, Wiley, and a UDFA grinder? Yes. Is it ideal? No, but again, like, you gotta make some tough choices here.
Yep, and then some people would say right tackle. Now, I'm on the other side of that. I think right tackle needs to be a pretty high priority for the Titans this offseason, but you could, whether it's a combo of Radens and Petit Frere, whoever that is, or bring back, you know, could you move Jalen Duncan over to right tackle and have Bill Callahan work with him? I mean, there's options you've got there. Chris Hubbard, could you bring him back? I mean, you could do those things, but I think you need to have a little bit more of a serious conversation about your right tackle.
I think you do, but I would also put him in that category of, like, you have options. And look, it's an interesting, like, Duncan with Callahan. I do think he's very talented. Who knows if we can put it all together? Nicholas Petit Frere with Callahan. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. Like, if you can find a starting right tackle, great. But I would not have that at the absolute height. And by the way, you know, TD was talking about Fuaga. I mean, some people think he is a left tackle, but he is known more as a masher, and I agree. I think pass pro has to be, like, job one. And in terms of Alton Fashanu, both of them are said to be, analyzed to be elite.
Coming up next, it's time for another season of Weekend Winners here on the program. Joe Rexroad, fresh off a Pigskin Pick'em Championship. We'll see if he can keep things going in Weekend Winners. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have Weekend Winners for you. Now
on ESPN.
102.5, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A new season of Weekend Winners is upon us now. Joe Rex Road, fresh off a Pigskin Pick'em Championship.
Thank
we'll
you.
See if you can keep things going.
Got
here
some
Weekend Winners.
Got some pepperoni and hot honey pizza coming my way, courtesy of last place Nick Keiser, right?
That is true.
That's fine with me.
Looking forward to it.
Our Pigskin Pick'em competition came down to the wire.
Same stakes.
So Nick could be paying for lunch left and right. We'll see.
All right. We'll pick a different place for you next time to buy me food.
Don't guarantee anything, Joe. You can't do that.
No guarantees.
Wow.
Believe me, I will not guarantee anything. That's probably going to be my one time.
All right, we begin with the Predators and the San Jose Sharks coming up tomorrow night. This one's just straight up, so just who wins the game? Joe Rexroad, since you won the competition last time out, you're up first. Who wins, Preds or San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, I'm going to go Preds lock.
Mm.
And I know that's a risky proposition because they have had a thing of – playing up to competition, playing down to competition, not responding well to praise, responding very well to responding a lot better to criticism slash amazing concerts that you should never miss being taken away from them. But the Sharks are absolute trash, dog water, cheeks. So give me the Preds, make it a lock.
I will also go with the Nashville Predators. I will not make it my lock. I will go Predators to take down the San Jose Sharks. Nick Kieser, Preds and Sharks coming up from the Shark Tank.
Clean sweep. I'm going with the Preds. Easy enough. They should handle them. If they don't, that's embarrassing.
Then we move to the next night. The Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Second half of back-to-back. I'm up first. Give me the Ducks. I'm going the Anaheim Ducks to win that one. I think, first off, second half of back-to-back. And it feels like they're going to drop one of these two. I can't escape the feeling that they're dropping one of the two. So I'll go Ducks against the Predators on Sunday. Nick Kieser. Ducks and Predators, who you got?
I tend to think the same thing as well. I'm not sure if they can replicate every single performance, especially against a younger Ducks team, and the Sharks, I think, will give them a pretty good test. So I think the Preds will not be at them normal selves as of lately, and they will lose against the Ducks.
Joe Rexroad.
What, are we all going to pick the same stuff every time? I was going to say the same thing, but screw it. Give me the Preds.
Let's say we're all going to pick the Anaheim freaking Ducks.
I know, I'm the reigning, the reigning champ. I can do whatever I want to do.
That's right, no question. Vanderbilt taking on Florida this weekend on the road. Florida, a 14.5 point favorite made up because we can't find any lines anywhere. So 14.5 for the Robbie and Rex Road Sportsbook. Nick Kieser, who we got? Vanderbilt or Florida?
I'm going to take Florida in this one. I think the way Vanderbilt's been playing the last few games and seeing their performance, they clearly are just out of it. Just all of their players, to me at least, look like they're not in this one. So give me Florida.
Joe Rexroad, Florida, by our own sports book that we just made up, favored by 14.5 points.
Yeah, I got to go Gators too. They're playing really well. They had Alabama on the ropes. They should have won at Alabama the other night, which would have been big for Tennessee in the SEC title race, by the way. But I think they're going to respond big time. And Vanderbilt's performance at home against Georgia, which isn't very good, was very discouraging.
Give me Vanderbilt plus the 14.5. I think they show some grit. They show some toughness on the road. They do not win the game, but they also don't lose by more than 14.5 points. So give me the Doors plus 14.5, showing some life for Jerry Stackhouse.
Look at you. Look at you. How about that? Well, maybe they respond to, all the firing talk. Well, sometimes teams do.
Maybe so. We move to Texas A&M taking on Tennessee. Tennessee at home in this game. A&M with a big win against the Vols a few weeks ago and basically have fallen apart since then. Tennessee, per the Robbie and Rexroad Sportsbook, favored by 9.5 points. Joe Rexroad, you're up first.
Yeah, I'll go Vols. I think it's a double-digit win. They've got the added incentive of losing that game a couple weeks ago. Texas A&M's playing terrible since then. They should have built on that and locked themselves into a good NCAA situation, and now they're back probably on the other side of the bubble. But I think the Vols are going to roll at home.
Vols, lock. Lock it down on the Vols. Yeah! They're going to shoot well in this game. Dalton Connect plays well. Vescovy plays well. James plays well. It's just, I think, 20 points. 20-point win for the Vols in this game. Nick Kieser, Vols, taking on Texas A&M.
Second clean sweep. I go with the Vols as well. I feel good. They are vibing right now, Robbie. Mm-hmm. I think that they are a great basketball team, and they continue to show why they're number five. So there you go.
We move to the individual portion of the program. Two individual picks apiece coming up. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Okay, so like you said, this is weird. This is not normal, right? There's no lines as of 9:40 Eastern on Friday before Saturday basketball games?
Not that I can find at the moment.
So I'm going to I'm going hoops. I'm going to – I guess I could go NBA too, and I'm usually pretty good with the NBA. They have – you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick two games that I think are close to pick 'em. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, Houston at Baylor. Houston, I think, will be a little bit of a favorite. Straight up, money line, give me Baylor at home against Houston.
Wow, Baylor to take down Houston. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
I could not find a line for this hoops game as well, but I'm going to go over to my – WKU Hilltoppers, because they're playing the 100 Miles of Hate game this weekend, and they're usually pretty close games. So give me Western Kentucky over MTSU this weekend.
Western over MTSU. I'll start in the National Hockey League. Give me the Edmonton Oilers -1.5 to take down the Minnesota Wild. I've seen John Hines' coach teams try to defend the Edmonton Oilers. It doesn't go well. Oilers, -1.5 against the Minnesota Wild. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
Doing a hockey game myself, I'm going to do the Columbus Blue Jackets +1.5 over the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres have been struggling, and also Columbus made a trade last night. Not a big one, but Alex Nylander goes over there. So Columbus, I take the 1.5. They're +1.5 over the Sabres tomorrow.
There you go. Blue Jackets +1.5 against Buffalo. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection and final.
Doing another home team that I think will be a slight underdog. I'll be interested to see when these lines actually come out. Alabama at Kentucky. Kentucky dropped a heartbreaker at LSU the other night on a wild final sequence, but they are playing better. They played terrific at Auburn. I think at home they're going to turn it up and upset Alabama. Give me Kentucky on the money line.
I would take the Miami Heat +3.5 against the New Orleans Pelicans coming up tonight in the NBA. Give me the Heat +3.5. I think they'll win outright.
Homer pick.
Yeah.
But you start love your Heat.
I love my Heat. You got to start there.
I probably should have done a Dubs pick. Dubs are rolling now.
Well, they look good last night.
We'll get them next week.
No LeBron.
They did. Well, you know. How much difference does he really make?
What would that guy know to do anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I'm continuing to get.
Are we nervous about the Vols with all of us picking the Vols to roll tomorrow against Texas A&M?
You know, I do think there's a little bit of a matchup thing with A&M. Those guards are really good. And so, you know, they shot way above the norm against the Vols at home. I don't expect that to be the case, but they do. They got to keep people out of the lane and not get in rotation. I mean, their defense, especially on the road, the defensive numbers on the road are not great. With Tennessee, overall they are great. At home, they're off the charts. So I think, you know, I think they're going to win. Is it possible that A&M keeps it to 6 to 8 points and screws us over? Yes, that would be your lock. So I actually wouldn't be that sad about it.
I'm sure you wouldn't. Vanderbilt on the road taking on Florida, and you got the Jerry Stackhouse situation kind of in the background there of all those things, and Gentry Estes did write a column about, you know, is Vanderbilt actually going to fire Jerry Stackhouse when all this thing is over, and mentioned in there, you know, Kansas Story Lee obviously not wanting to fire Jerry Stackhouse. No AD wants to fire their coach that she just gave an extension to. But how do you view where the Jerry Stackhouse part of this sits heading into the game against Florida coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, as far as that column and you know, just the idea of Candace Lee and everything, I absolutely have never thought that she wanted to fire Jerry Stackhouse. Now, she didn't hire him, and that's always a key thing with an AD and a college coach. She did extend him, and that's where I don't have the number. I don't know what the number is to move on from him. Now, I think ESPN had a piece that without, again, giving the number, called it, quote, prohibitive. I think that's the word ESPN used as they went through like a hot seat kind of quick article going through a bunch of guys. Well, I mean, I don't know what prohibitive means. I'd like to know what that – if that is, then that is – it is like she hired him then. You know, it's a little different situation, right? She made the decision to extend him. ADs do it all the time with coaches in college. I mean, it's a
– you know what else is prohibitive?
It's an epidemic.
Keeping him around and letting this continue.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I even if it's a big number, to me, I mean, the negativity, this is what it is in college coaching. You know, it gets to a certain point. And I know a lot of really level-headed Vanderbilt fans who some of them have been big supporters of Stackhouse and really thought he was good. Who it's like, yeah, he can't. It's no.
It's time.
Yeah. So I think that's what eventually is going to happen. But until it does, like, we're going to keep getting the question and people are going to keep talking about it. I mean, with Gentry Road, like, it used to be, is Vrabel getting fired? And now the Nashville number one, who's going to get fired? Is John Hines getting fired? They both did. Now it's Stackhouse.
Yeah.
It's his turn. Usually it ends up that way if it becomes that much of a story.
Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts heading into the weekend. We'll look ahead to the Predators, the trade deadline. They continue to win games. How does that affect the Saros-Askarov conversation? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios. Keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Preds win their third in a row last night against L.A. 4-1 the final score. A couple of empty net goals. They're back at it tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. Sunday against Anaheim. So three wins in a row on this road trip. And they're right there on the edge again. So St. Louis wins last night, so they are not technically in a playoff spot, but tied with the Blues at 62 points. They have now moved ahead by 4 points of Minnesota, who plays Edmonton tonight. So if you're a Predators fan, probably be pulling for Edmonton tonight in that game. Seattle at 59 points, Calgary at 59 points as well. So the Preds have done a good job this week of – not only hanging in there, but really separating themselves a little bit from some of this group that they were right there with. You get two more wins this weekend, then you're feeling obviously great about the road trip, and that would mean you have won five in a row heading back home to where you have a five-game homestand coming up as well. So
starting with the Senators.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you got a chance to make some hay.
You've already let one get away from them as well.
Yeah.
So you got a chance here. I mean, three games in a row against teams that are not very good. San Jose, Anaheim, Ottawa.
And then Heinze
all not very good.
In.
And then you got Minnesota coming on Thursday, which will be a huge game next week. So an opportunity for the Predators here to really, really get going here and put together some points. By the way, I mean, Montreal is after that at home. Buffalo at home. You got an opportunity. I mean, you got Colorado sandwiched in there too. But an opportunity to really keep wins piling up here. And the trade deadline, like your homestand, carries you all the way through the deadline. Trade deadline is March the 8th, which is a Friday coming up after all that. So after this five-game homestand will be when you have to make that decision.
Yeah, it's interesting because normally you say at home, oh, good. It just hasn't been. So I think that's kind of fitting that you got a five-game homestand with a whole bunch of what look like winnable games among the five. I mean, honestly, to me, like, you should get 7 of 10 points on that homestand. I know we're already, like, looking way past, like, two road games that they have. But that's – and then to me, again, like, it's – I don't know. I don't know about the impact on the deadline. I mean, I suppose we've just almost stopped talking about Barry Trotz bringing something in. It just would be so surprising.
Well, it would be more to me like, would he avoid selling pieces off rather than bringing pieces in? Like, because I think that to me is probably the more likely scenario. Like, would you avoid, let's say, Novak? And I do think Novak's a good example. Let's say you don't come to an agreement contractually with Novak by the deadline. Would you be more likely to keep him around if they continue winning? Or are you just committed to selling at all costs if you're Barry Trotz with guys that you know either won't be here next year or who there's a chance won't be here next year because of their contract status?
Yeah, and of course some of that does come down to what's your long-term vision for him?
Yep.
What's the money looking like? How far apart are you? Whatever. Because, I mean, I think he – I like him. I think he's definitely got some skill and some punch, and they need that.
Yep.
But also – and yeah, I know he's playing better lately, but like if you move him out and you get a good price for him, again, I just don't think that ends
it's not
your
an
chances.
Irreplaceable.
I mean, Saros is the move that, you know, now you're. How fascinating would it be, though, if it's like, all right, Yaroslav, can you get this team to the playoffs? How fun would it be
around here?
It would be fun. Not fun for Saros, maybe. I mean, I kind of feel bad for him, even though it's pro sports, is how it goes, but it's been a lot of talk for a long time.
Well, Saros is going to get paid somewhere. It's either going to be here or somewhere else. So he's going to be okay. But
yeah.
It's it becomes really more interesting by the day, and they've continued to roll off wins. Like after the Dallas game, I thought it was pretty clear cut. It kind of felt like everything was falling apart, and they've done a good job of responding since then. So we'll see if they can keep that up this weekend. Joe Rexroad, have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself in Indianapolis next week. That's we'll be doing the show live from the combine, or at least you will.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, can't wait to talk to you from there. I just hope I can do a show with all the excitement brimming out of me at that point.
I'm sure. Jason, Big Joe coming up next.
We will do the show.
102.5, 106.3, The Game.